Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. These are the off-season years, I guess. Something like that. I don't know. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, yeah. There's been, I guess it's been a few seasons coming that teams are progressively getting out of poker machines and everything.
Yeah.
And today, Collingwood announced that they've sold off their pokies as well. And about, I think it was half hour later, Essendon announced they've extended theirs by 29 years.
Well, I saw this because it's been going for a little bit with Essendon. They had to go to a council vote, and that happened last night. So I reckon Collingwood's actually just sat on their news and went, we know that Essendon has to release this today. Here's ours.
But, well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with Collingwood if you know how Carlton were famous for their little brown paper bags. What if you just nominated one player a poker machine? Is that kind of off the books? You're like, all right, here's your cut. You get the skim off of this one.
I'm pretty sure it's on the books, but I'm pretty sure it's also been tried.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just funny now.
Penrith or someone.
Collingwood have pretty much put themselves down a peg as the most hated Victorian team, and Essendon have managed to take a flying leap up there.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get back there.
Yeah, I think Essendon are definitely up there in most of his books.
Yeah. I mean, they're up there pretty high for me before.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many Melbourne teams I like except for mine.
Yeah, so. There is ones I hate and ones I hate more.
Yeah.
And that's about where it sits. Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
I got a low light.
Yeah, that'll
just
do.
You know, you realise you're getting old when you start getting injured for no apparent reason. There's not any discernible cause or anything.
Right.
I threw my shoulder out getting off the couch.
Yeah, that can happen to the best of us.
Also, how retarded... Has anyone had to deal with toll before?
Yeah.
They are fucking retarded.
Yep.
I ordered a TV off of Kogan. Wasn't Toll's fault on this end, but Kogan said, it's going to be dispatched on Friday. This was a Tuesday. And so I'm like, all right, cool. Get Friday off work. No worries. Next day, while I'm at work, I get a message saying, your TV is in a truck and on its way.
Right. Thanks.
So, all right, can't pick it up. So get a tag saying, ticket saying, redelivery. Yep, I'll get it redelivered when I got my day off on Friday, like originally planned. Actually, it's at our depot and we're not going to redeliver it. You have to come pick it up.
Like, Thanks for that, guys.
Okay. So ring up the 1-800 number or whatever the fuck number is and get a call center. And so I'm like, all right, so yeah, I've got to pick up this TV. What's the address? Can't tell you the address. Nope. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'll get your details and I'll forward it to them and then they'll SMS you with the address. I'm like, can you just tell me? This is not difficult. So they don't send me an SMS.
Of course not.
They send me an email saying that if you don't pick up your TV within 3 days, it's going to get sent back to the distributor. Are you fucking kidding me? So yeah, I had to get back on the blower and give them a mouthful and eventually they said, all right, here's the address. Was that so hard?
Really?
Was that hard? And then I went to the depot, interact with some of their employees, and Jesus, it makes a whole lot of sense now.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. It's good once you see behind the curtains, go, okay, this is why things are really stupid.
Yeah, yeah. But even getting into the place, they're just like, yep, go in, and this place is fucking massive. I'm like, I don't know where to go. Like, you're going to tell me? Yeah, just up there on the right. I'm like, it's a car park. There's nothing there on the right or the left or ahead. So yeah, I got to figure it out. Got my TV.
You got your TV.
Sore shoulder and all.
All right. Because it's off season and we've been doing a few loose units, we thought we'd get straight back into it. And so Brenton's done some preparation. So let's go into this loose unit number 3 for the off season.
Yep.
Thereabouts.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Some preparation, and this is going to be loose preparation for a loose unit.
As it should be.
Yeah. And I've gone with the NFL this time. I thought it's still football, but not going to be Australian.
It's the middle of their season, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is one of my, could be my favourite player ever, or my second favourite behind Neon Deion Sanders, who obviously when NFL was being played on SBS late at night on Sundays, they'd always show a Dallas game because they were popular then.
Yep.
So yeah, this is the life to date of Eric Lynn Williams Jr., otherwise known as Ricky Williams.
Ah, Ricky Williams. One I've actually heard of.
Yeah.
A favourite with stand-up comedians.
Probably. So Ricky actually has a twin sister named Cassandra, which I didn't know, and apparently has another sister. He was born on the 21st of May, 1977, in San Diego, California. And now, if you're familiar with San Diego...
It means whale's vagina.
Definitely does. Definitely does. And that's why it is the craft beer capital of the world. Don't know why, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah, so obviously, very liberal town.
California.
Yeah, so, yeah. This really helps explain Ricky's decisions later on in life.
It knows how to party, apparently.
Yeah, that's what Tupac told us all.
But surprisingly, researching this, I found out that Ricky's dad was actually a minister of a Southern Baptist church in San Diego.
Okay.
I'm amazed there is a Southern Baptist church in San Diego, for starters, and that an 18-year-old was actually a minister.
Well, maybe that's not the surprising bit. Like, if Southern Baptist churches have an outlier congregation that's probably there. So if he's the 18-year-old, he might be the only bloke.
I feel like they've got lots of outlier congregations and they're all over the South. His mum, Sandy, was 19, and obviously his old man, Eric Sr., was 18 when he was born. They were, however, married and had another girl as well. So it was Ricky's twin and another sister.
Yep.
There were allegations of sexual abuse when Ricky and Cassandra were young, which led to a divorce. And this came out in the divorce papers. It's alleged. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Standard divorce proceedings.
Yeah, and he's a Baptist minister, and all these things are adding up very quickly. They got a divorce, and Eric fucked off, and that's the last you really hear of him in this story.
Stereotypes are a terrible thing.
Well, it was. I mean, they lasted 5 years after Ricky's birth. So, 1983, they were divorced. This made Ricky the man in the house, as his old girl, Sandy, she went to work during the day and school at night. So, Ricky's job was educating and feeding and bathing and all that shit for his sisters.
When he's six.
Yeah. Don't know what the twin sister was doing at this point. I feel like she could have lifted, you know, her end of the deal or something like that.
Well, we might just be hearing Ricky's side of the story too, mind you.
This is true. And Ricky's side of any story does change a lot.
Maybe his sister's just him in drag.
Yeah.
He's just been telling the story. Oh, no, you didn't see me wearing a dress. That was my sister, Sandy.
Yeah. But you don't really hear much about his sister.
Isn't your mum named Sandy?
Cassandra.
Yeah.
Sister-mum. Mumster.
I look good though, huh?
Yeah, so this also resulted in Ricky having big anger issues at home. He was known to
big tits.
He has a pretty big pics. He's a massive unit, only 5'10", but probably best of 120 kilos or something like that. So anger issues, had to go to counselling. So there's lots of indicators of a very sort of broken home and childhood upbringing. Yeah, so this also led to a decline in his academic results. It was agreed by everyone, including Ricky, that he was a bright student, which, like most bright students, you don't tend to work hard because you're like, I know how to do this.
Right.
I'm not going to do it, but I know how, and that's good enough. However, when Ricky entered high school and matured, he actually turned that around and became an honor roll student, and also it's where he's found his love for sport, which is the crux of this this story. So in high school, he went to, I don't know, some fucking high school, Patrick Henry High School.
That's what we're looking Patrick at.
Patrick Henry.
Yeah, no fucking idea.
Patrick Henry or some shit. He played baseball, ran track, but his love of physical contact also probably stemming from his abuse and his penchant for lashing out.
And violence.
Yeah, and violence. He loved playing football, obviously.
Football.
Not just, one position. He liked playing any position where he'd steamroll someone. So linebacker, running back.
Not big on punting.
Special teams, safety, anything.
Anything.
Anything where you could hit someone.
As long as you can hit a bastard.
That was Ricky's jam. Turns out he's pretty fucking talented at football. Yeah. Being aggressive and,
Who would have thought?
Laying cunts out, yeah.
And huge, yeah. His senior year, he ran for over 2,000 yards and scored 25 touchdowns. helping his school become champions of the Eastern League.
But don't, in the high school games, don't they only play about 6 or 7 games a season?
I think there's like got their own season for their league, and then they go into divisional championships until you find the top one. So if you're a shit team, you might play 10 games, and I don't know, then you do golf in the off-season. Fuck knows what you do. Oh, funny story that's not actually in this one that I realised on the way here. Ricky actually started a golf tournament where you smoke weed and play golf.
Well, it's called the grass something.
Or something like that, yeah.
Miracle on grass.
In there, they won their, whatever their main division was, their home division. They won that pretty easily. Went to the Eastern League finals, and after running 110 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, he injured himself in the first play of the second quarter and was unable to complete the game. He's got crazy stats for high school as well. Yeah. Like ran for over 200 yards in 3 games a senior year. Was a player, awarded the best player in the league, obviously. And honestly, the accolades and records and his accumulated stats and rushing yards is just, you'd spend a whole podcast just listing them off.
He was good.
He was good. It was, and that's like an understatement. He was unable to complete that game, and the team went on to win that one, but lost in the next round.
Right.
Didn't really matter, because obviously Ricky was a pretty sought-after college applicant.
Lots of offers.
Yeah. So he received and accepted an athletic scholarship to the University of Texas, the Longhorns.
Okay, that's a fair old hike.
It is.
I imagine that Texas has a very good, very strong football program.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if you know about Texas, they're a very liberal state. And obviously, you know, big fans of African Americans and broken homes and hipsters from San Diego.
They're not that far away, though, are they?
Unless you can play football.
Yeah, I got to say, all is forgiven.
Yeah, I don't think they're that far away. Yeah,
yeah,
but so a world away.
My American geography isn't
they're a world away.
Yeah,
either is theirs, so doesn't matter. decided to go to the Longhorns. Funny, I only know the Longhorns, Texas. To me, that goes back to He Got Game, where they don't actually name a university or any high school, but they say big state with these big long horns in there. It's like, it's Shuttlesworth territory.
You say they're not big on, not traditionally big on African Americans, but I remember, was it Jesse?
Oh, they collect them.
Yeah. Jesse Williams, the guy from Christmas Island?
Christmas Island?
Yeah, Aussie.
I don't know.
Aussie-ish.
Oh, right.
Went over
and
played NFL for Alabama.
That kind of rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, he got ridiculous pundits because he was bench pressing ridiculous amounts of thing, and he was playing nose tackle, so he's taking on 2 offensive linesmen.
Jesus.
As a defensive lineman, or maybe it was defense as an offense, I don't know. Either way, he's a big motherfucker.
I think whenever your country of origin ends in Ireland, that's the position you get.
Yeah,
but the problem was he made it to the NFL, got drafted and everything, and got injured. And he got injured when he was on, I think it might have been Philadelphia's list, and they won the Super Bowl.
Shit.
So he got a ring without playing a minute.
Without playing a minute.
Wow, well, there could be worse ways to end your career.
I think he got another knee reco after. I don't think he played since. But,
So anyway, Ricky obviously had fucking amazing college career. It was really, really incredible. He rushed for 6,279 yards, which was a record at the time. It got broken the year later. But when he broke that record, they actually stopped the game to give him the game ball and have have dignitaries come out, including the person whose record he's broke, and have a celebration.
Right.
And they continued the game.
Well, I think he'd probably score a few after that if he's keeping the game ball.
Say,
give me back. It's mine. You can't have it.
We're running from here on in because can't pass.
His senior year was his best year. He ran for 9 touchdowns, 384 yards in the first 2 games.
Right.
That's it. First 2 games alone, that's what he scored.
So he's taking the piss.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Like, there's crazy examples, as I said, of how good he was. In the game against Rice, he scored 6 touchdowns, ran for over 300 yards. Another one, he ran for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns against Iowa. And there's just a litany of other ones that are very, very similar.
I might have seen a movie called The Program based on this fucker.
Funny enough, it does go down an avenue very really similar to that. Just different drugs of choice.
That one.
In his senior year, he would win the Heisman Trophy and later on would have a statue of him erected outside the Longhorns. I think there's only 2 people that have their statues outside the stadium, and he's one of them.
Right.
Some other person,
George Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Chuck pretty Norris. Funny, for someone who has a severe drug problem, they actually kept his Heisman Trophy, didn't sell it, you know, try and rob the person that bought it. One of the other funny things about when he actually left university and went to college, was actually drafted into the minor leagues for baseball.
Okay.
So I didn't know about this until I actually, you know, researched into it. So he was drafted by Philadelphia Phillies, and his teammates commented that he was the fastest person they've ever seen. He only played in the Class A, didn't actually go into the majors, but he stole 45 bases in his few games.
Was he just standing over the bases with a bat?
I feel like they've got a good resale. I don't know.
Like, to steal 45 bases seems like you'd have to be just there going, motherfucker, I'm taking this base.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I'll get you. Mate, I know which one your Knock car on, is. I know where you base. Live. Knock you the fuck out.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because he went to college for football in Texas.
Yep.
Played the minors in Philadelphia. I don't know how far they apart they are. But
pretty far apart.
Seems weird. He actually got recruited into the majors upon leaving college by Montreal Expos. However, he obviously chose NFL.
I think Expos as a mascot's pretty shithouse.
Well, I mean, there are some very questionable choices in.
But it seems like, oh, we're having an expo this year, but call ourselves the Expos.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what about the rest of your time?
What about the, you know, the 36ers then? Yeah. I mean, that's only one year.
I mean, they're both better than the Redskins, but only just.
Yeah. There's been, college, I think, has some really funny ones. Remember we used to get all those American basketball magazines, especially, and they'd have like the 10 best mascots. And the one I always remember was the Banana Slugs. One college team called the Banana Slugs, but there's like Purdue or the Boilermakers.
There's a pretty funny story behind that one, which I don't remember.
Anyway.
Well, I remember there was one, I think it's a Banana Eel or something, but it's also called the Bastard Eel.
Okay.
So you just imagine, you know, a scientist is finding this thing. It looks like a banana peel, like yellow with black dots and everything. Okay, I'm calling this banana eel. Bite him. Ah, you fucking bastard.
Ah, so that was on Reddit last week. I saw it.
Oh, right. I steal my stuff from the quality areas.
That's not stealing. That's just research.
So Ricky left college owning or sharing over 20 NCAA records, and he entered the NFL draft for the 1999 season. He was drafted by New Orleans Saints, who their coach at the time was Mike Ditka. Who obviously go for it.
Mike Ditka's ultimate football.
Yep, that's why I know Mike Ditka.
I reckon we're the only people in the world that have ever bought and played that game.
Someone out there has got to have played Mike Ditka football back in the 90s.
1995 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do a lot of running plays in that. It was just the super long Hail Marys without six offensive tackles guarding one long wide receiver.
I did a fair few long runs. No, very long, because I'd go sideways and dodge everyone and do circles. I'd
hand off to the running back at the start of the quarter, and he'd run sideways for 15 minutes of game time, not real time, obviously.
Yeah. So Mike was a massive fan of Ricky Williams, maybe too big of a fan, because in order to get him, they had to trade every single remaining draft pick that they had, as well as their first and third round draft picks for the following year, to the Redskins.
Hey, was Graham Wright one of their list managers? Because that's definitely the Hawthorne way of going to the draft.
Well, it does actually get worse, because this is also the first time that a team has ever only had one draft pick in the year.
Right.
That's it. They traded everything they had in order to be able to pick up Ricky, which they did. So obviously, massive news for Ricky entering and Mike Ditka picking him up, and he's pretty sure he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated in bride and groom outfit, saying for better or worse.
Yep. Okay.
So they're like, all right, we'll have eggs in one basket here.
Why not?
Yeah, and that doesn't seem a little homoerotic.
Well, yes, and football homoerotic? No, no. Big men in tights. After playing stellar college career and his big hype on his future.
How high did he go in the draft? You got that there?
Fifth.
Fifth. Okay.
First round, fifth pick. Obviously, entering the NFL, he needs representation.
Yeah.
There are some amazing agencies out there.
Yeah.
IMG, exactly.
Yeah.
DME. I don't know. Get Tom Cruise. He's probably better than who he did select, which was Master P.
Master P.
Okay. And so Master P is his agent. They say that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, Master P probably didn't like birds and never been in the bush, because he negotiated a contract that was ridiculously incentive-laden. It was an $8 million signing bonus plus performance incentives worth between $11 and $68 million, depending on what he achieved. A lot of these incentives had never actually been achieved by anyone, ever. For example, Ricky's a running back, right? Draft is running back. one of his incentives was 12 received touchdowns. So not running touchdowns.
But received.
Yeah. He's not a wide receiver.
I feel like this is just like someone going, I bet you $1 million I can dunk a basketball.
Yep.
It's like,
settle down, midget.
Yeah. Mate, you're 3 foot tall.
Yeah. And also, to average 18.6 plus yards per reception with a minimum of 32 receptions. I don't know where the 0.6 comes into it. Like, how did they go from, I don't know, 0.5, maybe. 0.6 seems a bit arbitrary.
Six. It's got to be 6.
Or maybe they intentionally, maybe like the only previous person who had done it had done 18.5.
Right. So they said, we're going to do that.
Yeah. And his contract was just littered with these incentive bonuses that are impossible.
All right. I know nothing about the contract, obviously, but I guarantee the actual justification for it is far more ludicrous than what you've suggested.
It is. It's like, there could be one podcast just that. And there is a website, which I'll try and find the link and post it if anyone gives a fuck. And they actually break it down.
18.6?
18.6 yards.
Well, maybe the justification was, well, a 187's a police code
for
getting shot, then I don't want to go that far. So 18.6.
But there were other incentive bonuses where he'd have to break the record in order to get the $3 million and then continually break his own record in order to keep getting that extra $3
million. Yeah, good.
So literally impossible for him to get $68
million. Well, aim high.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. This is widely regarded as the worst deal ever in the NFL. So, obviously, Ricky fired Masterpiece Agency and hired Lee Steinberg, who was the inspiration behind Jerry Maguire, apparently.
Yep. I thought I recognized the name.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, obviously, I'm not a sports star, but if I was and had a promising career in front of me and had a little short list of agents to choose, I'd just look at their last name.
Yeah.
If you got
the Jew.
If you got P... And you've got Steinberg.
Yep.
I'm going with Steinberg.
Yeah. Better call Saul. That's what you're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pick a chosen one for the brothers.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the strategy of trading all your draft picks to get Ricky into a team that was shit didn't work out.
Oh.
It turned out that they just gave the ball to Ricky. And Ricky, being a fucking workhorse stud, actually did a lot of work for them, got massive amounts of meters gained and, you know, all sorts of things. But his team was shit, so the results were shit.
Yep.
Ricky had consistent niggling injuries that he never addressed, and he just played through them.
Yeah, because they're giving him the ball every time. He's the only bastard that the other team's worried about.
And his contract's incentive related, so he can't get paid unless he goes out there and plays. So he played through injuries and was just hammered by the end of the season. And New Orleans ended up firing Ditka. They got Ricky, they got no draft picks. They've traded their... first and third round draft picks for the following year for Ricky. And so they got no hope for the next year either, and Dick has been fired. And to top that off, Ricky hated New Orleans.
Oh, of course.
Hated being there. Hated the cold. Hated the people. Hated the food.
I didn't know New Orleans was cold.
Didn't really like his team. And so he just became a recluse in his little apartment. He only had like a one-bedroom apartment. Didn't spend much of his money.
Motherfucker got an $8 million contract.
Well, I was going to say, what do you mean much of his money? Most of it's incentive labor.
Yeah. And so he just started smoking a whole lot of weed. And he also did this to... He was diagnosed with severe anxiety and a whole lot of other orders we'll get into a bit later on, not too far down the road. But he used this as a way to deal with his anxiety, injuries, and it's because he's a massive fucking stoner, really. So his New Orleans career was actually a solid career for the team that they had. In 2001, he ran for 1,000 yards, but was injured and missed the end of the season and also the Saints' first ever playoff win, which obviously had a big... That was his second season there, so a big sort of... role in getting them to where they were. He also had 60 receptions, so it's not a bad effort. 2001, he ran for 1,200 yards, so he met some of his goals with the receptions. However, Ricky, hating New Orleans, was like, fuck this shit, I'm injured, I'm miserable, you know, your coach doesn't give a fuck about me, he's just treating me like pretty much a slave.
Yeah.
Just get the ball, run, Ricky, and that's it. So he asked for a trade, and obviously, big raps on him, so there weren't too much trouble with finding someone that he'd go to, but his condition was he wanted somewhere warm, somewhere where he could, you know, be much more better life-work balance.
Right.
So, Ricky heads to Miami.
Of course he does. Why not?
Oh, God. A stoner going to Miami.
Yep. Ooh, lucky. So, this was in 2002. He was traded to Miami. He still kept his recluse lifestyle and a general shyness around his teammates. He even conducted his interviews with his helmet still on, with the visor down, sitting in his locker room. So everyone just thought he was a weird, strange dude.
Well, for good reason, by the sounds of it.
Well, exactly. And so he was diagnosed with social anxiety, borderline personality, and avoidance disorders. He tried a variety of different drugs to treat these illnesses. He was actually, at one point, a spokesman and endorser of Paxil, which was a drug distributed by GlaxoSmithKline.
Right. I always find it funny in the US that you can have spokesmen and advertising for actual branded drugs.
Yeah. If you don't know who GSK are, fucking terrible company that are fraught with absolute ethical and moral criminal things.
When it comes to Big Pharma, they are Big Pharma.
Well, they are actually the biggest heroin grower and dealer in the world.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting that they own the heroin fields in Tasmania and that they supply 50% of the opium for Johnson & Johnson. And with the current epidemic of opiate abuse in America, they're responsible for it. So Tasmania, by proxy, is responsible for pretty much half of the fentanyl and heroin and prescription drug epidemic in America.
And blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, good on them.
Obviously, yeah, it's a long time.
Remember reading a story about that? Apparently, wallabies bust into the opiate fields all the time. Yeah. They have a bit of a munch and then hop around in circles.
Well, there wasn't too long ago when Victoria was trying to bid for the right to be able to grow their opium in Victoria.
Yeah. I don't want to sound stupid, but it's poppies, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they grow wild. Like, if you go through the Adelaide Hills, you'll see them on the side of the road.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, but that shit will get ripped up in Victoria in no time. That shit will get churned over and turned into powder.
See the same thing happen with mushrooms. During mushroom season, you see people wandering around Carlton Gardens and Flagstaff Gardens.
Yeah.
And then there's people with, the cop high-vis on.
Yeah.
Just hanging out and watching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
I'm playing Pokemon Go, man. Ricky was taking Paxil to sort out his mental issues. But he soon stopped taking Paxil and resorted to marijuana, which he said allowed him to relax, treat injuries, and figure his head out.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, when you're good, playing good, whatever weird shit you're doing off the side doesn't really matter. It gets forgiven. Shortly after joining the Dolphins, Ricky tested positive for marijuana, a banned substance in the NFL. Yeah, it's not like he was quiet about it. So all of a sudden, the NFL was testing him and going, shit, you got marijuana. That's a problem.
Shoot the missus. No worries. We'll sort that out.
The only type of abuse the NFL worries about is substance. Anything else, you're good.
Or kneel during a song.
Yeah, well, that's true as well. Yeah, that's another type of abuse. However, Ricky's reinvigorated going into Miami as well. The first offense is like just a warning kind of thing, slap on the wrist. Had an incredibly successful first season in Miami. He scored 16 touchdowns and accumulated 1,853 yards.
Still under his KPIs, though.
Still under his KPIs, yep. Not good. However, at the end of 2003, Ricky failed another test for marijuana. He garnered a $650,000 fine. Obviously, he doesn't spend much money, so it wasn't too bad.
So he had the coin.
Still not happy. He's like, really? Just smoking this little bit of plant, dealing with my injuries. I've got a reason for it. You're going to say that it's 650 grand? Didn't learn his lesson. This was the end of 2003. In the preseason 2004, tested positive for marijuana again.
Yep. Now, with this, the NFL's not a not-for-profit, is it? It's a privately owned company.
Yeah, they're owned by family, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so the fines they levy are essentially profit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get the feeling that he was a bit of a cash cow.
Yes, and that would be a very common theme, especially in Miami. $650,000 fine. Tested positive again in the preseason of 2004. This was his third time, which would lead to a four-game suspension. So Ricky, it's at the preseason, is facing the first four games of the season on the bench after his best season in the NFL ever.
And they only have an 18-game season or something like that, don't they? So short. So it's
with an incentive-based contract. Yeah, you know, that's not good.
Make it hard.
So is Ricky's got some serious, soul searching to do and has to really consider what his future is and what he really needs to do to get good. So he decided to retire from...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That's football.
Hold up.
Right.
Was he still on incentive-based contract when he went to Miami?
Probably not, but it's a funny joke, so we're rolling with it. Decided he chose marijuana. You know, some people choose life, some people choose sport. He chose weed.
Fair enough.
So he's like, fuck this.
About 26 at this stage.
Yep. Yeah, I think just about exactly. Yeah. So he's gone, fuck it.
Just about exactly. Yeah, I like that.
I'm choosing weed. This is just after having his best season in the NFL ever. Yep. This led to the fans fucking hating Ricky. Like, really fucking hating him. They would have effigies burning. They'd have big dumpster piles of his merch and his shirts and everything in the streets.
I never understood that. Like, you bought the merch and you're burning it.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but you paid the money, yeah?
Merch are cheap.
Especially in Miami. Like, if you had a set of chose cocaine, they'd be like, come on, mate. Here you are. You're in Mecca.
Supporting local businesses.
Yeah, for sure. Ricky didn't give a shit. He decided that he was going to go on a little trip. But before that, the Dolphins tried to sue Ricky for $8.6 million for breach of contract.
Right.
Kind of a bit of a funny one because no one's ever sued a player because they retired.
Yeah.
There was a massive uproar and there was so much pressure on the organization because they obviously traded for Ricky. They spent a lot of money. They'd all bought his shirt and he's gone, fuck it, I'm retiring.
Yeah, it's in the US though. Like, they've got a coin in the US where if you've got a problem, you can either flip it and it'll say shoot him or sue him. Like, I think if it lands on the edge, you can say negotiate.
Yep. So, tried to sue him for $8.6 million. Everyone in Miami hated him. Ricky still didn't give a fuck and he decided, you know what? I'm going to shave off my dreadlocks, grow a beard, and I'm going to Australia.
That's right.
I think I like Ricky.
Talked about this. Yeah. There's a 30 for 30 foot on it, isn't it?
There is, yep. Yeah. Yep. That was actually written by him, and he shopped it around, and 30 for 30 picked it up. So he chose the director. He wrote the whole thing. And it's not overly flattering of him either. It's flattering of his achievements, but his personal life, it's pretty, you know, what's not.
Damning, yeah.
Yeah, so watch that if you want to get, like, a bit of a more in-depth.
Well, it seemed like not giving a fuck is his stock in trade.
Yeah, exactly. And weed. Literally stock in trade now. He heads to Australia, ends up finding a tent commune where you can just pitch up your tent for $7 bucks a week or something like that, and just smokes weed and tries to figure himself out.
How was Byron Bay?
Well, it was actually, I think it was pretty sure he went there, but also he was camping on the side of the road in the middle of the outback for a while. I had to drive down the outback and seen a fucking running back in a little tent by the side of the road.
I'm just picturing him, you know, gut checking a kangaroo or some shit. Just whoop.
Taking on a semi cruising around there or something. Ricky would later state that he was figuring out what to do with his life and he found it in Australia. He would return to America 2 weeks later and study an Indian holistic medicine called Ayurveda in San Diego. Not sure I'm pronouncing that right.
I think I had a shampoo by that brand.
Yeah, I think maybe this might have been the Indian version. I think it's pretty sure Indian with the dots.
Right.
Could have been their version of ayahuasca or something. I have no idea. But Ayurveda.
Yeah, sure. Run with it. I've got no idea.
It won't happen overnight, but it'll happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, I was going to say, yeah, maybe it's great. Jamie, can you bring that one up?
Exactly. Yeah. Have you tried ayahuasca? Yeah.
Dude, I want to get high.
There actually is a school for Ayurveda in San Diego. So he's headed back home to San Diego, studied this. Actually started doing yoga as well and a fuck ton of other just holistic sort of medicines. Did Tai Chi and all sorts of other ones, which I've never heard of. It's like, you know, they just make up words and chuck it in there that sounds scientific, that kind of thing.
Good move.
John San Sun Do.
Is now a legit yogi and practicing teacher of yoga, which is no joke.
Yeah, but can he fire his arms halfway across the screen?
Yeah, and he was quoted as saying, playing in the NFL, you're told where to be, when to be there, what to wear, how to be there. You're also paid a fuck ton of money. But he said, being able to step away from all that, I have an opportunity to look deeper in myself and look for what's real. Your bank balance is real. However, Ricky announced his intention to return to the Dolphins halfway through 2005. He had an epiphany, did some yoga, figured shit out.
Realized being poor sucked.
Yep. ran out of cash, was being sued for $8.6 million. Yep. So he's like, we'll just try and smooth this one over now.
Was Mr. P his lawyer? I really hope so. That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky represented himself, to be honest. This would not surprise me at all. So this was halfway through 2005. He's going, all right, guys, I'm coming back. I figured my shit out. I'm ready. Obviously, Dolphin's pretty skeptical. So he's going, look, I'll return half of my signing bonus and I'll complete my four-game suspension for smoking weed. He also apologized for leaving 2 days before training camp, which resulted in them winning four games that season and one of their worst seasons in like 11 years or something shit like that. So obviously, he's on, all right, I'm sorry, I apologize. Fans not still happy. Fucking hate him.
Of course
still
they do.
Hated him. Didn't want him back. Massive backlash to the organization.
Just imagine making the one making that call though. Like, you know, on his day, he can play.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know he's fucking hated by the fans though. So you gotta be one like, look, he might he's not gonna get any less hated not playing for the side.
Yeah.
But if he does play and we win, I look like a fucking genius and we'll feel good.
And all will be forgiven, as the fans are tending to do.
But if we don't get him back, it's not going to go away.
So, yeah, that's the thinking of the administration. So, it's tedious ground. It's, you know, it's halfway through 2005. So, he sits his four games out, starts playing. 2006, at the very start, Ricky was suspended for substance violation.
What substance could it have been?
Well, this one is actually unclear. They never actually released what the substance was, but Ricky was into his own holistic shit, so he's mixing together concoctions of all sorts of crazy stuff.
Peyote or some shit.
A bit of everything.
Yeah. But, however, his mum came to his defence.
Of course.
So, thank God.
Oh, the old Shane Warne defence.
Oh, no. This was an herb related to his holistic medicine practice. Yeah, weed.
Weed, yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was not a diuretic. Ricky was suspended for the entire season. This did not improve his relationship with the fans.
No, so I imagine not.
They did not appreciate this much at all. Imagine the administration is going, for fuck's sake.
But really, at that stage, the administration has got to look at themselves and go, this is our fault.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're not signed up to ASADA or anything.
Yeah. Like, no, they run their own show.
They run their own show because they could be like, oh, yeah, tested positive. Fuck it.
Most of them are steroids and doing cocaine before games.
Yeah.
But obviously, Ricky was a bit of a target because he didn't conform to any of their... strict media presences or that sort of toe the line.
Maybe he repped the wrong pharma company.
Maybe it was very true. Actually,
just a non-sponsor.
Surprise me. Look into it.
Jamie, pull that up.
Yeah. So suspended for the entire season. He's gone, shit, what do I do? Now, it's a bit of a side. I didn't even know that Canada had their own league, the CFL. Canadian Football League. Back then, it wasn't a big organization. It's probably still not. I don't know. I didn't actually look into it. It might not even exist anymore. I don't know.
I know that Dwayne The Rock Johnson played in the CFL for a bit when he didn't make NFL.
So there you go. Yeah. I mean, because they weren't very big and, you know, they didn't have much star quality, they didn't care much about honoring other countries' suspensions, ethics, or contracts.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's like playing IPL after you get suspended and then... you know, Australia something.
They're pretty much the China of gridiron.
Yeah.
So the Toronto Argonauts obtained signing rights for Ricky should he choose not to play for the Dolphins.
Argonauts.
I have no idea what an Argonaut is. Didn't look into it.
It was an adventurer from Greek mythology. Jason and the Argonauts sort of golden fleece. It seems a bit highbrow, to be honest.
Right, yeah. So they've gone, all right, if you're not going to go to the Dolphins, sign this contract, and we've got exclusive negotiating rights for you. Also, the CFL had no banned substance tests. In fact, they had no banned substance policy.
Right.
I think this is a match made in heaven.
So he's left the UFC, he's gone to Pride.
This is exactly right. Ricky.
I mean, failing playing for the Amsterdam Smoke Heavies, I think he's found his home.
Ricky chose to go to Canada. The Dolphins brokered a deal to put up no resistance to his plan in Canada, so long as he would return to them in 2007.
Right.
The Dolphins, all right.
Right. Dolphins haven't learnt their lesson, have they?
I feel like we've got another Loose Units podcast just on the Dolphins administration.
Yeah.
I didn't look up who was in charge of it, but holy shit, how are the Dolphins still around with that sort of decision-making?
Yep.
I think a pinky swear wasn't really enough in hindsight.
So, of course, Ricky was like, yeah, sure, no worries. So Ricky became the highest paid player in the CFL with a 1 year contract worth $340,000.
Right.
I reckon there are some, there might be, I reckon Andrew Bogut makes more in the NBL.
Yeah.
So, but at that wage, there's probably players who aren't getting paid at all.
No, probably not. Yeah. It was a bit of they have some other NFL stars that gone across there and, you know, retired there and sort of they just kept getting a paycheck, basically. So Ricky broke his arm in the first season. I think it was like 4 games in or something.
Right.
So he's going to have like just a little time on the sidelines.
And was it his smoking arm?
I think he smokes both arms.
I think he's ambidextrous. Like, and he's doing his yoga so he can use his feet too.
This is very true. So he's just kicking around the training rooms. Obviously, he's not doing much work. Walks through a door. The door swings, slams shut on him, and puts a big gash through his Achilles tendon.
Right.
So he's got a broken arm.
This sounds like the biggest bullshit excuse.
I was just walking through the training center and door shut on me.
He's probably in a dogfight or some shit.
There was an American sportsman, and I don't know. It could actually be old mate here, but Ricky Williams. But he once said he got busted, and his quote was, "I got high and forgot that I wasn't meant to get high."
I forgot who that was. Yeah. It could have been Ricky. Actually, I think it might have been.
It might have been. It does sound like something he would say. Mm. But anyway, continue on.
All right. So he's got 2 months on the sidelines now. This is a 1-year contract. So he ended up playing 11 games for the Argonauts. He rushed for only 528 yards and scored only 2 touchdowns. Very underwhelming performance from someone who's obviously got a second chance.
Especially with his standards.
Yeah. Maybe that incentive-based contract works. So Ricky's done his 1 year. He has to go back to the Dolphins. Before the start of the 2007 season, the CFL instated a rule upholding NFL suspensions in their own league, dubbed the Ricky Williams rule.
Ruh-roh.
I just Googled it. It was Ricky Williams. I'll read this headline. Ricky Williams blames pot for his failed drug tests. I got high and forgot I wasn't supposed to get high. So there you go.
I mean, it's a classic excuse.
Yeah.
I've done the same with work. So, before being reinstated by the Dolphins, Ricky failed another drug test. Okay. Of course he did.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm just amazed that everyone in the NFL, they banished him, but still into play. They just want him to toe the line. Just listen to what we're saying and do what we want you to do.
It's halfway, mate.
Yeah. So,
do you reckon they're actually testing with this stage, or they're just doing the honor system?
What? And so obviously, usually you'd be like, all right, well, you're not coming back. But the NFL's like, we want you back. We just want you to do what we say.
Just help us.
Yes. So they've gone,
help me help you.
All right, Ricky, you're going to have multiple drug tests every single week. You need to pass them to play. It's like, for weed?
I want to see that meeting. Just like, all right, Ricky, we're going to take you back. Okay. But you're going to get drug tested. Okay. And if you fail, you'll be in trouble. Okay. So you don't need drugs?
Yep.
Weed?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. And so Ricky's gone, all right, we've got all these drug tests, fine, whatever. If I'm going to come back to you, though, I've got a few conditions. I want to be second string running back.
Right.
So I don't want to start. I want to be the plan B. So they're like, okay, cool. They already had a pretty solid running back at the time.
Okay.
So they're like, all right, sweet. And he's like, I don't get paid too much. So
right.
Didn't want to get paid too much. Didn't want to work too much.
I'm feeling like even the Miami Dolphins negotiating team could be like,
I wasn't allowed to smoke weed either.
We can get on this as long as he doesn't smoke weed, and we're on the honor system. He's pinky sworn that he won't this time again.
Yep. So
we can win here.
It's all in line. Everything's signed. They're ready.
Yeah.
Second string makes his comeback in Monday Night Football. So obviously, massive crowd.
Lots of focus.
Fucking hated him. No one's happy that he's there.
And worst part, he's on the sideline this time.
Not happy, yeah. And he's their second string running back, so that's sort of improvement. So starts the game. I think he has like 6 rushes for 15 yards in the first quarter. A Steelers linebacker stepped on his right shoulder, tearing his pectoral muscle, leading him to miss the entire season.
Okay, so he's played a quarter and a half.
Yep. Fans did not fucking like it.
No, either. They wouldn't.
I'm starting to like this lad.
Yeah. So comes back for 2008. Was an improvement because obviously played a quarter for the first time back. He's actually scored 4 touchdowns as a second string running back, which, you know, not too bad.
Well, even him scoring 1 touchdown is pretty good. When you consider in the last 4 years, he's played maybe a full game.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Yep. And that was in Canada.
Yeah.
So the Dolphins actually had an 11-5 record that year. Right. So they're actually a pretty solid team. Pretty good. They had a good roster. So Ricky was like a gamble they could maybe willing to take.
Yep.
Not so much on the fan side, though. That's kind of a tough one to smooth over.
I'd think you'd be earning them shit tons of money. They keep buying more merch to burn it.
Yeah.
Well, loving life.
Good point, actually.
Yeah.
It'd be the highest selling jersey because people are buying 7 or 8.
Yeah. The problem is they're burning his merch out the front and he's going out there for a light.
Yeah, he's throwing his own shit on this.
It's just a self-perpetuating cycle.
So 2009 comes around. Ricky, you know, he's just chilling back, second string. 9 games into the season, their starting running back, Ronnie Brown, suffers a season-ending injury, making Ricky the starting running back.
Of course it does.
Fans were stoked. Pretty fucking happy about that. Ricky just lights it up. Fucking starts just running for massive, peels off just massive runs. Everyone's like, oh, shit, we're supposed to hate this guy. Fuck, what are we doing? He ended up rushing for 1,121 yards that season.
Yep.
That's as being second string for the first 9 games. Yeah. Only been first string for, half of the season.
Half a season, yeah.
And it was just insane. Like, if you watch the highlights from that season, it's incredible what he's managed to do.
Yep.
Especially with 3 seasons of doing nothing, injured, playing second string, no game time. He also broke the record for longest time between 1,000-yard seasons.
Okay.
6 years. So 6 years prior, that was his last time that he had rushed for 1,000 yards. The fans fucking loved him. Fucking loved him.
Who would have thought?
Yep. His name was back on their jerseys.
so they have to buy another jersey.
Yep. Slightly charred.
And so having an original Ricky Williams jersey is actually a really big thing for their supporters. Because I never turned on him. I'm a Ricky Williams fan from way back. All you guys.
Through and through.
Just hid that shit while everyone was burning noobs. Stuff.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was in the 30 for 30 documentary. They've actually got interviews with one lady. Then the first time he left and she was burning his jersey, and then after this season when she's praising him, her not realizing it's the same crew. Yeah. fans love him. It seems like this tale of redemption's really come full circle. Now, Ricky's private life, fucking mess.
You don't say.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how many kids he's had is difficult at best.
If you, on the scale of 1 to Sean Kemp, where's he at?
Oh, depends. People confirm Sean Kemp's kids. Yeah.
Well, they've confirmed some. Like, I think the confirmed number was about 8.
Well,
but the probable number is in the 90s.
Ricky's confirmed number isn't actually a number. It's between,
it's a range.
It's not Sean Kemp territory, but
it's a probability scale.
It's some people like...
He's got quantum kids.
He's definitely got 5 kids, and this is the names. Other people like, he's definitely got 6 kids, and these are the names.
Right.
And all his friends are like, he's got 10 kids.
Right, okay.
To 3 different girls, probably. No, 3 different girls for the confirmed 5 or 6 kids.
And
10 kids total to others. Who knows what's going on there? So, in 2009, he's like, I've got to fix my private life, So, he's got this girlfriend who is a fucking saint, absolute saint. This little lady named Kristen. And she just puts up Ricky's shit. She looks after the kids, lets him do what he wants. They get married in 2009. He's like, I'm going to be a good husband. Good husband, all right. It's my time.
Best of intentions,
I
want
to build a relationship with my kids, get them to trust me again, get them to recognize me.
And then I got high, and then I got high, and then I got high.
So, yeah. Flash to nowadays. They've got an open relationship, and Ricky spends 300-plus days abroad in the state, checking on his family sporadically. His friends say... That's just Ricky. That's just the way he is. He's irresponsible.
No shit. Do you reckon the Miami Dolphins called her up and said, look, we need some negotiating skills. We're going in for some training. Do you want to come?
Yeah. Yeah. So the rest of his career for the Dolphins, the redux, I know, does that make sense?
Sure.
It obviously went not as good as that season because that was just fucking amazing. And also the Dolphins team had lots of trades and their team generally went downhill, but Ricky still performed. However, in 2011, he signed for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
And also on New Year's Day 2012, he became the 26th player to attain 10,000 career rushing yards. 1 month later, Ricky retired from the NFL at age 34.
It's about right.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. Plus, there's a lot of spell in the middle there.
Yeah.
But just imagine what he did if he didn't have that time off. It would have been fucking amazing. Even if he only retired at 30.
Yeah, exactly. It
would have been incredible. The following year, Baltimore Ravens would go on to win the Super Bowl. Funny enough, Ricky was, after their season, they lost in one of the playoffs, not the first round, but they went pretty deep. And Ricky rang up the owner or coach or something, was like, man, I'm pumped for next year. It's going to be amazing. And the owner said, don't hang your head on what could happen. Just be happy with what's happened. And so he's gone, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, and I'm going to retire. So he's gone, I didn't actually need to win that Super Bowl. I just knew that we would, and that was enough for me. sounds like some stoner bullshit to me.
Right.
So he's like,
hang on, just let me get the timeline right. He
retired before the season.
Right. He did retire before they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he knew they were going to win it, and he's like, that's good enough.
That's good enough. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When they won the Super Bowl, he was actually on the sidelines as a photographer for ESPN.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
But well, this is again, I got high because I forgot to get high.
Yeah.
I won the Super Bowl and I knew I was going to do it, so I didn't bother doing it.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the media pens at any NFL or any American game. Imagine they have to fucking take photos around a running back that's on the sidelines. That'd have to piss you off. He's like, I'm ESPN and I'm a running back, so what the fuck are you going to do?
And I'm 6 foot wide, so good luck.
Yeah. Ricky estimates that his pot smoking during his NFL career cost him $10 million in salary and in endorsements.
I'd go the overs on that.
Well,
I think that's the low end.
Yeah. Everyone agrees that it's way more than that.
including
the people that paid him. However, Ricky, of course, is now making a career out of cannabis. He started his own company called Real Wellness. So, obviously, it's got the RW initials and must have really struggled to come up with the words.
He's a wordsmith.
He's also completed a degree in psychology. So, he's got all these holistic medicines. He's got his fucking Reiki and whatever else he's doing. Plus, he's got a psychology degree.
Yeah, from the online University thing. Of Equatorial Guinea.
Probably, yeah. In what I look as the only, reasonable decision he made, in 2016, he signed to the agency WME to handle his brand. Right. WME, not a small business.
Massive.
They are like, it's Ari's fucking...
Yeah, I can say they own the UFC.
Yeah.
Among many other things.
Yep. He's also opened a gym in San Francisco called Power Plant Fitness.
Okay.
It's a place where you get high and work out.
Right. I'm going to have to go, how has Rogan not talked to him?
Exactly. I mean, if they don't have a 10th planet in there, a 10th planet jiu-jitsu, then that's conspiracy. I'd be looking into that. Why has that happened? So he sells hash cookies and shit in there. And
just look into it.
Look into it. You get high either before, after, during, or all the above when you work out. Imagine the conversation being a spotter.
Yeah.
Dude, you ever looked at Pluto? If they did have a 10th planet there, there'd be no actual grappling. It'd just be a bunch of guys going, yo, dude, what you need to do is this. Oh, no, man, I saw this other shit. Try this. No, man, no, like this. You didn't never actually go any grappling. It'd just be all conversation.
Are you lifting the weight, or is the weight lifting away from you?
Yeah.
Ooh, shit.
Keep going.
So obviously, Ricky's just all about cannabis now. He was...
What do you mean now?
Well, of course, always, but now he's legitimate.
I feel like he's had a longer relationship with cannabis than anything else in his life.
But that is 100% absolutely. True. 100%
true. He's been very faithful.
Yeah. So he's got his Power Plant Fitness in San Francisco. He's got his own weed company.
Yep.
He's also an ambassador for weed all around the world. That's why he spends his 300 days plus away from his missus, interstate and abroad. I know he went to an event in Spain called Spanibus.
Okay.
Spanibus Festival.
Right, so he's repping.
Yeah, he's repping weed, his weed and everyone's weed and whoever's weed, just give him weed. In 2017, he was the keynote speaker at a cannabis convention in Pittsburgh. My personal goal is to elevate the legitimacy of cannabis as a medicine and the respect of medical professionals for cannabis users. Williams told the Tribunal Review in an email Wednesday, as a former top athlete, no one disputes that I endured injuries and serious physical pain. Medical professionals are well aware of the treatment regime utilized by the NFL, namely opioids. So, he's one fighting the opioid system that he actually took money from and supported during his career.
Is Michael Phelps involved anywhere here?
He's got to be, surely, doesn't he?
He must be.
Probably in the sidelines. He's also, 4 days ago, some Ricky Williams relevant news. So some stuff that we're not going to see in any sort of, not going to see in the documentary. He's just announced his creation of the Freedom Football League.
Right.
I think I know what the theme here is going to be.
I'm going to guess.
This is going to be, he was a partner of the, what was it? The not the Weed Olympics, but the Weed X Games or something.
Okay, the X Games. I think they're just called.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard. Yeah.
It was something like that where every person's got to be high.
Right.
So
what's Snoop Dogg doing on commentary?
Well, this is what I think, and this is where Michael Phelps come in. Maybe he's a part of this league because it's a league to be run by former players. They got Terrell Owens on board.
Right.
I think they've got 100 different investments from former players.
Right.
Okay. And also fans can invest in the league as well. So this is the same time that the XFL is signing up. There's apparently another one called AAP or some fucking shit.
Right.
Starting up. So there's a few other leagues. So Ricky's going, fuck it.
Mine too.
Starting this one too. I've got enough things going on. My stoner brain is just working overtime at the moment.
Well, to be fair, I think he's got a better business case than the XFL did.
Well, not the bank balance though.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
So yeah, their little USP is going to be they're playing the summer and the spring. The spring and the summer.
Yep.
So opposite to...
It's a growing season.
Yes. And so yeah.
They finish it up when harvest due.
You're going to say, yeah.
And so that brings us up to date with the life of Ricky Williams. I guarantee that this story is not over.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's got more. But as you're going through that, now that he's gone legit with all the pot business, it's getting made legal all over America.
Yeah.
He's probably pulling in more coin now.
He's sure is.
He's
probably
doing really, really well.
Especially his renowned OG of the cannabis movement. Yeah. Like, he's got
runs on the board.
Yeah, he'd have to have that stigma where, is the coolest of the cool because it's Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have him as going around trying to sell the shit.
He needs a business partner.
He needs someone to, really just ration what he takes off the top. Yeah.
And go for the Guildenstein or whatever his name is, not Master P. Stick with the chosen people.
But at some stage it'll be, because there's so much money in it now. I think they've said it's worth billions of dollars in the US at the moment. So, at one stage it will go mainstream and they'll have adverts on TV like Old Mate did, and it'll be Snoop Dogg or Ricky Williams up there going, yo, try my brand.
I used to take prescription opioids.
Yeah.
In fact, I was a representative.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a way to get out of it, isn't it? I mean, there is actually, it's a better alternative to the current.
Yep. And there is legitimate research that supports all that.
And to be honest, I'd rather have some dickhead chat to me about flat earth theory than some meth head try and stab me. So.
Yeah. Well, every day of the week.
It gets irritating, but,
All right, that's another loose unit for us. It's good that I knew little pieces going around, and I'm sure we've mentioned Ricky Williams like probably 2 or 3 years ago. So it's good to see he's one of those loose units that's just still pumping out the content.
Yep. Yeah,
and will be for years to come, I'm sure. All right, that'll do us for this week. But next week, I think we're going to start on our 2019 AFL season preview. So the lists have all been lodged. There's not much left to happen there. The fixture's out, and we can start putting our long-range predictions and where they're going to land.
Also, Docker got injured. Good news for Crows getting their number one draft pick too.
poor lad. You don't like to see that happen to anyone. But I think, I've got to do our ladder predictors, and I think I've got the bottom three already sorted.
Yep.
I think it's there.
I just want to see where Josh thinks Port's going to finish.
All right, that'll do us for this week.
All right, peace. Oh.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.